In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, all God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Okay, before getting into the worksheets, just a brief overview of what we're doing in these few weeks. Try to see yourself as being on retreat with Mary during these few weeks of, thank you, of vacation. You're on retreat with Mary and Jesus. And our program is divided into three parts, as we said last week, like a tripod. You've got a tripod, there are three legs. You knock one leg down, it falls down. One is, I'm going to try to give you a talk to help you to get closer to God through Mary. That's what we're in now. Give you a talk to get to know Jesus and Mary better and better. If we're ignorant, then we're not going to be able to really love God if we don't know who God is. You know, you can't love someone you don't know. I think that's common sense. Right? So then after that, last week we didn't have time, but after this, we're going to be breaking up into groups, which we have group leaders that are called facilitators, in which all of you will be able to share for a minute or two how God spoke to you this week, how Mary spoke to you this week, through your prayer period. So we're going to be dividing you into groups of about 10, and for a few minutes, then you'll be able to share how God spoke to you. That's very important. How God spoke to you, and you're going to be sharing it with the rest of the group. That's what we said last week. You should have your binder. You should have your prayer. You should have your prayer copy as well as your worksheet. And then we invite you, after you've done your prayer period, to spend a minute or two, or even more if you like, to write down, what did Jesus say to you? What did Mary say to you? What was the message, the overall message of that prayer period? Now, a lot of your parents who I know, some of them I know before, even before you were born, have already done this program with me, but the program that they did was double. Instead of 5 weeks, it was 10 weeks. Instead of praying a half hour, they're praying an hour. Okay? So I decided when I wrote this program to just cut it in half. Okay? Because many of you don't have too much experience in this type of prayer. So we're inviting you, encouraging you to meditate 5 days a week. We gave you 5 meditations. But you want to aim high and try to do the 7. Now you might say, well, we've only been given 5 meditations. Well, you do a repetition of those 5, which were the 2 that seemed to kind of captivate you, grab your attention, and meditate them a second time. You might say, well, why meditate something a second time? I already know it. It's not the way it works in the spiritual life. You could be reading the Psalm of the Good Shepherd 500 times, as I've done, and every time I read it, there's some insight that I never had before. That's the way God works. God works in a wonderful way in which He speaks to us different every time we go to prayer. Okay, now, so you've got the presentation, you have your sharing, but the most important part of this program is what you're doing during the course of the week in that silent time in which you're connecting with God. So, how are we going to do that? First of all, you have to set aside some time every day in which you're going to be talking with Jesus and Mary. Now, you're on vacation. I know you're on vacation. You want to sleep in? Okay, I know you want to sleep in. Okay. However, you don't want to give in to laziness either. You know, you can vacation, you become lazy, you know? And laziness, that doesn't come from God. Our God is not a lazy God. Okay. Our God is a God that works. You know? So I would suggest that you do your meditation in the morning. You know why? Because you're going to have activities in the afternoon, maybe in the evening, and that's going to crowd out the meditation. That's the way it is. You're going to have some sports activity, or maybe friends are coming over, or you may be going swimming, or you may be going to catch a movie. Before you know it, it's already 10:30 at night, and you haven't done your meditation yet. So, I did my meditation this morning at 5:45 to 7:10. Okay? So I got my meditation in right before Mass. I got home late from a mission in L.A. last night, but still, I got up a little bit tired, but I did it anyway. No? So I don't depend upon feelings or whether or not, you know, I've had, you know, the best night's sleep or not. I just do it. You know that T-shirt, just do it, just do it, okay? Just do it. So try to do it in the morning. Try to do it in the morning. In the morning. Maybe after breakfast, maybe before breakfast. You know, you're in the morning, you know, you're giving God your first fruits. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain gave God the worst. Abel gave God the best. What's your name? Cain or Abel? Maybe your name is Canabel. Okay. Hopefully it's Abel rather than Cain, right? You know, hopefully your new nickname is not going to be Canabel, okay? But rather it's going to be Abel. You're able to do it. You are, okay? Okay, now how are you going to pray this type of prayer? You have to have silence. You hear me? If you don't have silence, you're not going to be able to pray. So if you're in a room where there's a TV going on, the radio is blasting, you got your dog barking, you got your father snoring, I mean, all these noises are going to prevent you from connecting with God, because God speaks in silence. Now, I would suggest also when you're praying to have good pictures. Good pictures. You have an image of Mary in your house. Maybe of a statue. You have a picture of Jesus in your house. Maybe got a painting. So it's good to pray in front of holy pictures. Now the Jehovah Witnesses and born again Christians saying we're practicing idolatry. We have a word in New York from that, baloney, okay? That's a New York word, baloney, no? Okay? So praying from front of the images, that helps out a lot. So how you're going to pray, you have to have silence, you have to have the image, you have to have your own time. Now, today I'm going to go through briefly what is called a prayer method. You have to have a method. And you'll be surprised how many methods we have in learning something. For example, maybe in school you're studying a language. In language, you have to know the grammar, right? You have to know the verbs, you have to know the sentence structure, or something like this. Well, when I was your age, I played baseball. There's a certain way that you learn to play baseball, okay? If you ever hit a baseball, we all have a tendency to have an uppercut. That's the way we are. So you have to be kind of like a lumberjack, okay? Cutting down. If you cut down, you hit a baseball, you're going to hit probably a line shot. That'll go up the middle, you get a single or double. If you got a lot of power, you hit a home run, okay? So there are methods in baseball, there are methods in learning a language. Some of you maybe know how to play an instrument, okay? Maybe know how to play the guitar, or the flute, or the jew harp, okay, or maybe the triangle, okay? At least you know how to do the triangle, 1, 2, 3, bump, bump, okay? Or maybe the fiddle. So you have to learn the method. Otherwise you play the music, you're going to be breaking the windows, huh? And you're going to be exploding the eardrums of your mom and dad, no? You're going to be cantar, no espantar, as they say in Spanish, right? Cantar, no espantar. No, some people speak Spanish, huh? You want to sing, you don't want to scare people away, huh? So here's a method for you. And I know that I have a highly erudite or intelligent group before my eyes. I'm going to give you what Pope Benedict XVI gave in one of his writings. And it's called Lectio Divina. So I'm going to give you a few words in Latin. Not pig Latin, but just normal Latin, okay? And the words are going to help you to do a method. They are Lectio, Meditatio, Contemplatio, Oratio, Actio, e Transformatio. I added another. Some of you are saying, well, Father, I don't even know what Latin is. Well, they're just simple words that are easily translated in English. And if you know Spanish, it's almost just like Spanish. Okay? Oratio, okay, Lectio means, Lectio means lectura. It means to read. So you start out by praying, and then you got to read. You have to read. So you have to read the material that we've given to you. Read with this idea in mind. God is speaking to you. When you're reading, Jesus and Mary are speaking to you. What a blessing. And you want to say, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. From the Bible, speak, O Lord, for the servant is listening. Some of you might want to say, listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking, huh? Well, nothing wrong with that, okay? But you want to do both, okay? Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Okay, that's Lectio. Then, after Lectio, Meditatio. We have the word meditation. Meditation means think. God has given you a mind. What's the purpose of the mind, according to Thomas Aquinas? To absorb the truth. Okay? And the truth will set us free. Amen? So you read. And then you think. Spiritual thinking. Think spiritually. Then after meditatio, contemplatio. Use your imagination. Contemplate. We all have an imagination. Either we use our imagination for good or for bad. Imagination, we use it for good or for bad. You want to try to imagine that you're in front of Jesus and Mary. And you're talking to them. You're talking to them. What could be more noble in the world than to be having a conversation every day for a month with Jesus and Mary? If you do this well, this will be the best month in your life. Amen? I repeat, if you do this well, this is going to be the best month in your life, and there's going to be a real change in you. But you got to be generous. You do one day, then you skip another day, then you say you're going to meditate in a half hour, you do 8 minutes, and then you're looking at your watch, or you got your headphones on when you're trying to do it. It's not going to work, okay? You got to be generous. You're not giving yourself full-heartedly to that, okay? What would happen if you're in the choir? You're in the choir, maybe you're playing the piano or maybe the organ or the guitar, and you didn't pay attention, and you're playing in the Mass. It'll be a total disaster. Right? Imagine that. You know, you're there. You're skipping a note there. You're playing when you shouldn't be playing. No. There has to be harmony, right? If there's no harmony, it's terrible. People are going to get up and go to a born again. Go to the Evangelicos. No, they're going to go to another church. No. So if we should be paying attention in the choir, we should be paying attention even more to God. Remember, one occasion I was in Springfield in baseball camp, which was what I really loved. And once I was not paying attention, and I was playing second base, and there was a guy in first base, and the shortstop, the ball was hit to the shortstop. I wasn't paying attention, and the shortstop threw the ball right to me. Ah! Yeah. I got the seams in my mouth, huh? Because I wasn't paying attention. You don't pay attention to music or sports, you're going to lose. You don't pay attention to God, you're going to lose too. And you might even lose your soul, right? That's more serious, isn't it? You don't want to lose your soul. That's the most important thing in the world to save. So you want to try to do your best. Work at it. Be generous. Be faithful. Love God. Love Mary. Okay, then after contemplatio, oratio means talk. Oración, talk. Talk to Jesus and Mary. Talk to them. Whenever you want to talk to them, they'll listen to you. You ever call a friend on the phone? Busy. Have to call back. You call again 10 minutes later, busy. Call another time, busy. It turns out you had the wrong number anyway, okay? Okay. Okay. But then you call your friend busy for an hour. Did you know that there's one phone number that's never busy? In Spanish, it's C-E-A-L-E-O. In Spanish, no? C-E-A-L-E-O. ¿No habla español? Un poquito. Me olvidé, padre, okay? Or in heaven, it's H-E-A-V-E-N. Speak English? Un poquito, huh? Un poquito. So every time you dial H-E-A-V-E-N, or you dial M-A-R-Y, or J-E-S-U-S, right? It's never busy. Wow. That phone number is never busy. And M-A-R-Y, you dial it, and what happens, Mary, I've been waiting for this phone call all day. Hey, thank you. Let's talk. You're talking to her. And you're talking. And you're listening. And you're talking. And you know, Mary never gets tired. Mary never gets bored. Mary never says, oh, it's you again. Qué lata, qué pesado. Mary never says that. Mary picks, we talked yesterday for a half hour. How about talking an hour today? How humble God is. And then you talk to Jesus. You were talking with my mother. Let's talk now. You talk a half hour with Mary, a half hour with Jesus. In the end, I talk a little bit with St. Joseph. What a great day. Start off by talking with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Your spiritual batteries are charged, huh? You're ready to get them. On fire, huh? So that's oratio. What do you think axio is? A-C-C-I-O. It's almost like that in Spanish, isn't it? Axio is Latin. Action. So, you got to put it into practice. Remember, Mary, she meditated upon the Word of God, and then she went off to bring herself to Saint Elizabeth. So she put into action what she prayed over. So you're called to put into action what you're praying over. And Mary might even say this, you know, you've got a sibling at home. You got a brother, you got a sister. And that sibling drives you bananas. And then maybe Jesus says, but also you drive her bananas too. It's a two-way street, huh? Never thought about that one, huh? You thought she was the criminal 100%, huh? And then you hear, I went to visit Elizabeth. I walked 50 miles. I was pregnant. And that poor guy, Zechariah, that guy couldn't even speak. And there he was kind of talking to me like this, no? Uh-huh. And I had to be patient with this poor guy that was mute. I had to be with Elizabeth. I had to walk to the well, and I had to walk with a big pot on my head and walk all the way back, and it was 95 degrees. I didn't complain. You complain about everything. You suffer from complainitis, huh? It's a modern malady, complainitis, huh? Saying we always find something wrong with something, huh? If you love Coca-Cola, I gave you a glass, 50% of Coca-Cola. What is it? Is it half empty or half full? Uh-huh, you say half empty because you're a pessimist, huh? But if you're an optimist, it's half full. Thank you, Father. You knew that I like Coca-Cola, huh? So, maybe in your prayer, Jesus and Mary are changing you to be converted. Be converted means you got to change. And that's the last thing. And it's transformatio. What's that? Transformation. St. Paul says it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. When I was your age, I used to watch these intellectual programs. I used to watch the Three Stooges, the Little Rascals, and used to watch also Superman. Superman, the classics from the 60s, no? On one occasion, Superman, you haven't studied physics yet, but later you'll be studying physics. He put a piece of carbon, coal, in his hand. And he squeezed the coal. And he squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, and that piece of coal was turned into a diamond. Turned into a diamond. So maybe right now we're kind of like coal. Maybe a little bit cold, a little bit hard-hearted. Maybe we're resistant. Maybe we're not totally open to God. But hopefully the more that we pray, the coal in us is going to be turned into a diamond. Amen? Amen. Turned into a diamond. So, there's a method for you. It's called Lectio Divina. And it is Lectio, Meditatio, Contemplatio, Oratio, Actio, Transformatio. Amen? Read, think, imagine you're there, talk to Jesus and Mary, then put it into action, and as a result of this, you're going to be transformed. Amen? Amen? Okay, so let's go to our worksheet. You got it? You got your thinking caps on, or did you leave it at home? You got your thinking caps on, right? Okay. Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The names of Mary's parents, you know, Mary had parents like you, were, first write Saint Joachim. Joachim. Okay? Saint Joachim. Are you good spellers? Mas o menos, huh? Okay, if you're not a good speller, I'll help you. It's J-O-A-C-H-I-M. Okay? Kind of a hard word to spell. Saint Joachim. That's the father of Mary. And the mother of Mary, her name is Saint Anne. Saint Anne. A-N-N-E. Saint Anne. So you have Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. Number two. Jesus had only two grandparents, not four. Okay, you had four, maybe you still have four, okay? So he only had two grandparents. And they would be the mom and dad of Mary. So right now you know the mom and dad of Mary, their names are Saint Joachim and Anne. Great saints. These two holy persons are the patron saints of all grandparents. Are your grandparents still living? If some of you still have grandparents living, you probably do, at least one. Maybe two, maybe four. So you pray to them. Pray to them for your grandparents. Do you know that my grandmother lived in 3 centuries? You probably think that's impossible. She lived in 3 centuries. She saw the invention of the car, of the TV. She was born in 1898 and she died in the year 2002. So she lived to be 104 years old, my grandmother. My mom's mom. Now one of the persons she didn't like was a guy named Babe Ruth. You ever hear of him? Because she lived in Detroit. Any of you know anything about baseball? Babe Ruth was the greatest. But there was another player that was playing in Detroit, was probably second to him. His name was Ty Cobb, okay? Who had probably the highest average in the history of baseball. So whenever the Yankees came to Detroit, they'd always beat the Tigers. My grandmother would be listening on the radio, Babe did it again! Ah! Okay. That was just a side note. Okay? Tradition presents them with great suffering, but then an immense joy. Their suffering for many years was they could not have any children. They could not have any children. They wanted to have children and they couldn't have any children for many, many, many years. Any of you go to Mass this morning already? Okay, so the rest of you will be going to go into 12 o'clock Mass. So if you're following, or you're following the reading, Abraham is 99 years, about to turn 100. Any of you know the wife of Abraham? Sarai, and it'll be changed to Sarah. Sarah was 90 years old, and she had her first baby at 90 years old. Try to imagine your great-great-grandmother having another baby. Huh? Well, did that happen with Mary? Her mom and dad were probably not that old, but they were pretty old. Do you remember another person in the Bible, woman who did not have a baby until she was older and she really suffered a lot? St. Elizabeth, right? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was born when his mother was very old. Okay, tradition presents them great suffering, but then immense joy. Their suffering for many years was they could have no children. Their joy was later on, and God blessed them with the most holy child. The most holy child, Mary. The most holy child, Mary. So let's pray that Catholics will be open to having a big family. Amen? And it's interesting is this. Very often when parents have a big family, they bless that family with a son or daughter that becomes a priest or a nun. Very common. Some of you know, we have two Father Daves here. Father Dave Yankowski is the son of a farming family, okay? Farmers. Father Dave is one of twelve children. It's either 12 or 13. Yeah, I think it's 13. 12 boys and one girl. What a blessing, right? It's like Mary and the apostles, right? And you know, Father Dave has a brother who's a priest in Argentina. I'm one of nine, okay, smaller family. But often when parents say yes to having a big family, that one's going to become a priest. That one's going to become a Carmelite nun. Generosity. Generosity. Any of you ever hear of St. Catherine of Siena? She was one of 25. Imagine sitting at the table at dinner, mom and dad and the 25 kids. Could you please pass me the spaghetti, whatever your name is? No? Probably had to have name tags, huh? Name tags, huh? Okay, next. We're going to see what type of people were the parents of Mary. They gave a third of what they had to the poor people. They gave a third of what they had to the poor people. They gave another third to the temple. You know what the temple is? Okay, for us it would be the church. What would be the St. Peter Basilica for the Jewish people back in the time of Jesus? It would be the temple that was built in Jerusalem by Solomon, who was the son of David. A huge temple that the Romans destroyed in the year 68. But they would give money to support their church. What about you? And the collection box is passing to you, put in or take out. Hopefully you put in, okay? And then they kept, and finally the last third, they kept for themselves. So I'm not very good in math, but I think it was 66 and two-thirds that they gave away. No math majors here? I'm not very good at math, but I know a little bit, no? So they gave two-thirds, would be close to 70%, huh? Your parents know the word diezmo, which would be tithing, no? Tithing is usually 10%. They gave 70%. Wow! What generosity! They almost gave everything away. They kept a little bit for themselves. Are you generous or are you stingy? Yeah, I think it's a good question, right? You're praying over it. Do you like to give more or receive more? Ah, I heard it. That's why we're here. Be converted. The kingdom of God is at hand, huh? See, we tend to be selfish, no? Probably all of you know the Trinity, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you know the egotistic Trinity? Me, myself, and I. Called the egotistic Trinity. Me, myself, and I. I am number one. Yo, numero uno. Okay, next. They are a powerful example for us to give to God by giving to others. Powerful example for us to give to God by giving to others. Can you finish this biblical phrase, there's more joy in giving than receiving? How about Mother Teresa? Give until... Sabrina? Give until it hurts. Mother Teresa, huh? Generosity. God will reward our generosity too, for God cannot be outdone in did I skip number four? Okay. Yeah, I'm bad at numbers. You got to correct me. Okay. And number four. One of the hallmarks of Mary's parents, St. Joachim and St. Anne, was generosity in giving. Thank you for correcting me. Okay. Generosity in giving. Okay, the end of number six is, God will reward our generosity too, for God cannot be outdone in generosity. Number seven. In the womb of St. Anne, God worked an extraordinary miracle, the first of its kind. We call this miracle Do any of you know the patron, the patroness of the Americas? Well, what's your name? Oh, come on, the whole name. No hay mexicanos aquí? No? No tiene nombre? Okay, the patroness of the Americas is Our Lady Guadalupe. Who's the patroness of the United States of America? The Immaculate Conception. Okay, we call this miracle the Immaculate Conception. Call this miracle the Immaculate Conception. This means that God preserved Mary from the stain of original sin. Good. Some of you know your catechism pretty well. The stain of original sin. And the effects. The effects that flow from it. 9. You can pray to Mary who is born... Okay, number 8. Just check to see if you're awake. Huh? If you had your coffee or not, huh? All of us are conceived and born with the stain of what? Only Mary never had original sin. What's the sacrament? The sacrament of baptism washes the stain of original sin from our soul. Number 9. You can pray to Mary, who was born without original sin and was sinless. Pure is another good one. But sinless her whole life. You can pray to her to help you to, number 1, resist sin. Resist sin. Number 2, say no to sin. Number 3, fight against sin. And number 4, be victorious over sin. So I'll repeat. Resist sin, to say no to sin, to fight against sin, and to be victorious over sin. How many of you want to be happy? What takes away our happiness is sin. So if you want to be happy, like Mary, have to try to avoid sin. So you're tempted to sin, Mary help me. Say the Hail Mary, pray, and she'll help you. Do you believe that? It's true. So look at the picture. Looks like a happy teenager, huh? No to sin, just say yes to God. Amen? Number 10. Every year, with great joy, the Catholic Church celebrates on November 21st the feast of the presentation of the child Mary. Where? In the temple. Presentation of the child Mary in the temple. St. Anne and St. Joachim willingly presented the child Mary in the temple when she was very young because these holy parents recognized that Mary belonged to God. That Mary belonged to God. Number 12. Mary would remain in the temple to be educated because God was preparing Mary. God was preparing Mary to carry out one of the most important and sublime missions in world history. Mary was being prepared to be the worthy temple, the worthy temple of the Son of God. Mary being prepared to be the worthy temple of the Son of God. You were present in the temple when you were baptized. You present in the temple when you're baptized. And you became a temple. From a temple of the living God. You became a temple of the living God. A temple of the Blessed Trinity. Anyone know what the Trinity is? One God and? Okay, the first person is the? Second person is the? Third person is the? Okay, so there are three gods in one person, right? Three gods in one person, right? Yeah, I said it backwards, okay? What is it? It's three persons in one God. Who's the second? What's his name? How many natures does Jesus have? What are the natures? Divine and human. Divine means that Jesus was and always is God, and human means Jesus is, erase H-U. He was a man, okay? Erase H-U, okay? He's divine, but also man. What is the union of the human and divine called? We learned this in catechism. It's called the incarnation, okay? Not the reincarnation, but it's called the incarnation. I gave you a mini course in Christology, okay? So it's good to know something about the Trinity to understand also the greatness of Mary. Mary is related to the Blessed Trinity as well as you. How many of you are baptized? Okay, here's a question in which you be honest now. How many of you know the day that you're baptized? Oh, you do? Huh? Wow, not bad. How about you do this? Ask your mom and dad if you can celebrate your birthday twice a year. Good idea? So you celebrate your natural birthday and your supernatural birthday. Amen? Natural birthday? The day you were born physically, and your supernatural birthday when you're born on the day of your baptism. So the day of your baptism is very important. Very important. Mine was March 25th, which is the Annunciation. What a great day to be baptized. I was baptized the day in which Mary conceived Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my baptism. And I celebrate it. Okay, we are on what number? Okay, through your baptism, you became a son or a daughter. Son or daughter of God. So your relationship to God is your daughter or son of God, of the Father. How about, what is your relationship to Jesus Christ? Are you his son? The relationship is a little bit different. Brother or sister? Good. So became a brother or sister to Jesus Christ. So if anyone asks you, do you have an older brother? I have two older brothers. Dr. Michael Broom and Jesus Christ. Amen. I got two older brothers. Jesus Christ and Dr. Mike. Okay. What about the Holy Spirit? And intimate friend. So the Holy Spirit is your intimate friend. He's your best friend. Someone asks you, who's your best friend? The Holy Spirit. Who's your older brother? Jesus Christ. You have a father? Yes, God the Father. But St. Louis de Montfort says, he who does not have Mary as mother does not have God as father. Strong, huh? St. Louis de Montfort. He who does not have Mary as mother does not have God as father. Mary is our mother. Amen? Okay, next. Beg Mary that you will have the grace. You'll have the grace to live up to your dignity as a living temple of God. Have the grace to live up to your dignity as a living temple of God. Let us pray to Mary. Help me to live as a worthy son or daughter of God by avoiding all that is displeasing to him. And carrying out all the good inspirations that God sends me. Okay, good inspirations. What does that mean? For example, you're at home, your mother's kind of tired, kind of sick, and there are a lot of dishes that are piled up in the sink. Here, the inspiration, put them in the dishwasher. That's a good inspiration. That's a good inspiration. Okay, and you're here in your heart, that little movement, tell me you love me. You say, Jesus, I love you. Tell my mother that you love her. Mary, I love you. Say the Hail Mary. You're just walking from the bathroom, you're walking to the kitchen. Say the Hail Mary. You pray the Hail Mary. Your dad says, take out the junk. Oh, yes, Dad, I'm so happy to do that. And you don't complain. You know, in each of taking out the junk, it takes more time to complain than to throw the junk out. Yep. You're complaining for 5 minutes. It only takes a minute and a half to throw the junk out. That's crazy. You're making everyone in your family disturbed because of your suffering from complainitis. Huh? Another inspiration. Get up a little bit earlier to do your meditation. Oh, no. Overcome laziness. These are inspirations. We can accept them or we can reject them. Next. Living in the temple, Mary was busy with the motto of the great Saint Benedict. Ora illabora. Any of you know a little bit of Latin? Ora illabora. It's the great. Perfect. Well done. Okay. So, Mary was busy with prayer and work. Mary was busy with prayer and work. There is a very true proverb. You know what a proverb means? It's like a famous saying, right? Proverb. My mom and dad would always quote this proverb when I was growing up. And it's a good one. You maybe never heard it before. And it is this. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. Do you know what idleness means? Spanish, la flojera. Okay? Idleness. I-D-L-E-N-E-S-S. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. You don't have anything to do. The devil is going to give you a lot to do. Yeah. That's true. Don't have anything to do. Devil is going to give you a lot of bad things to do. So we want to work and we want to pray to avoid the devil and his temptations. Did you know that you're on vacation? The devil never goes on vacation. The devil works 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, 366 days a year. That's called hyperbole, okay? Hyperbole, a literary flair to emphasize an idea if you're an English major, okay? So, you don't want to be giving in to laziness. Mary teaches us, hey, you got to work. You got to pray. You're going to be happy when you work and you pray. And do everything for God, as Mary did. Amen? Okay, next. Ask Mary to help you. Oh, 17. Mary is our model for all virtues, especially prayer and work. What is it? Prayer and? Work. Prayer and work. Prayer and work. Work is good for you. Good for you. Three types of work. Physical, mental, and spiritual. Amen? Three types of work. Physical labor is good for you. Mental, cultivate your mind. Spiritual, cultivate your soul. Amen? You got a body, mind, and soul. Right? Yeah. Body, hey. Good physical work is good for you. When I was your age, you know what I did? I had cutting grass in the hot 90 degrees, humid weather of New York and New Jersey. Hard work. I wanted to make money to go to college, huh? Man, I was drenched when I came home and I rest a little bit, or to play baseball a little bit later on. No? So work, sports, forms character. One of the biggest challenges for you people is the electronics world. You spend too much time in front of the boob tube, as well as what is called the TV, as well as your computer. La pantalla, huh? You spend more time in front of the TV as well as your computer, and you don't spend enough time doing physical work. So all of you during the summer, do some type of sports. Some type of sports. Good for you, no? Otherwise, they say in Spanish, terminas gordito. Mm-hmm. Number 18. Ask Mary to help you to grow deeper. Ask Mary to help you to grow deeper in prayer. And to avoid laziness. Don't be lazy. Avoid laziness. Once there was a saint, his name was Saint Peter Canisius, and he was a very hard worker, preacher, teacher, Jesuit, and he was working really hard. Someone said, "Slow down, you're working too hard. Rest." And he said, "I will have all eternity to rest in heaven." I like that. "I'll have all eternity to rest in heaven." Now is the time to work. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. Then we can rest forever in heaven. Now is the time to work. Amen? Okay. And finally, it's Mary to help you to grow deeper in prayer and to avoid laziness by working hard. Working hard. To help you prepare for the mission God has planned for your life. Okay, so now, with the help of our facilitators, you're going to be dividing into small groups. Okay, listen, are you listening? You're going to be dividing into a small group, and you're all going to be sharing one of those meditations when you're talking with Jesus and Mary, one of those that really seem to touch you most. So we're going to say our Hail Mary, and then Mary's going to help us to divide into groups. We're pretty numerous, but we'll have enough helpers to facilitate so that you'll be able to share with others how Jesus and Mary spoke to you this week. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, pay attention. Mary's going to help you to understand how you're going to be dividing the group. So God bless all of you. Have a great week. Okay?